Welcome to the Media Line. I am Mohammed Al-Qasim. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif made a surprise appearance at the G7 summit in Biarritz, France on Sunday for talks with French President Emmanuel Macron, who is seeking to ease tensions between Iran and the United States. Zarif also met with other European diplomats. U.S. President Donald Trump said Monday that he had not objected to Zarif's visit and insisted he was not seeking regime change in Tehran. The U.S. president unilaterally pulled out of a landmark 2015 multilateral deal that placed limits on Tehran's nuclear activities in exchange for sanctions relief. To discuss this issue, I have with me Hussein Abish, who is a senior resident scholar at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington. He is a weekly columnist for Bloomberg and the national newspapers. Abish previously served as a senior fellow at the American Task Force on Palestine and executive director of the Hala Salam Maqsood Foundation for Arab American Leadership, and served as communications director for the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee. He has a PhD in comparative literature from the University of Massachusetts, Amherst. Mr. Abish, thank you for being with me.
Welcome.
Let me ask you first, what was the purpose of this surprise visit?
Well, I mean, I think the idea was to try to put pressure, probably, on the United States by reaching out to the Europeans. I think the strategy of Iran from the beginning has been to leverage other powers, Europeans, Arabs, Asians, put pressure on the United States to ease the sanctions and give them breathing space. And so one of the fronts in this concerted campaign, which involves things like threatening the supply of oil to Asia and the pricing of oil and the maritime security in the Gulf and attacking actual direct interests and assets of Gulf countries, and also putting pressure through the nuclear file on the Europeans. And so this outreach to the Europeans was, first of all, I think, in one sense, an effort to put more pressure on the United States by saying, look, you know, we still have an active dialogue with the Europeans, and this gives us a lot of leverage. And so, you know, this is how we're doing it. And also, it is yet another indication to the United States, among many, that Iran wants to talk and Iran wants to make a deal, because at some point their campaign has got to produce some kind of diplomatic results. And that's true of the United States, too. But the United States can wait much longer than Iran can. And Iran hasn't succeeded at all so far in gaining more breathing space for itself, and it needs to find that.
French President Macron is seeking to broker a deal between Tehran and Washington. Was it a gamble on his part to invite Mr. Zarif?
Well, I don't think so, because first of all, Trump says that he approved of that in advance, and I think that's probably true. I think Macron probably did ask Trump, you know, is that okay? And Trump said, I don't care. I'm not going to meet him. So, no, I think it's not much of a gamble. I don't see what Macron loses, and I don't see what the Europeans lose by trying to keep the door open to the Iranians. I don't think this is bad for anybody. I think it was a good thing for all parties, and that's why everybody went along with this, why Iran agreed that this could go. It's why the Europeans agreed to be the hosts, and it's why the Americans did not object.
President Trump said there is a great unity among G7 countries over the Iran nuclear issue. Is this an accurate statement?
Depends how you look at it. I mean, from his point of view, I suppose so. But I mean, I guess I think that what he's hoping is to get all of the global powers on the same page with regard to Iran. So he has to pitch it as an opportunity rather than a threat. For them, it's a problem. They were happy with the JCPOA, but the JCPOA is dead. It died the minute that Trump withdrew the United States from it. So Iran and the five remaining signatories have to figure out what to do now that the JCPOA is done with. And nobody wants a conflict, least of all the Europeans.
You are listening to Hussein Abish, who is a senior resident scholar at the Arab Gulf States Institute in Washington. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani supported his top diplomats' effort, saying it was in the best interest of his nation. But hardliners in Iran criticized the initiative, with the ultra-conservative Kayhan newspaper saying the trip was improper and sent a message of weakness and desperation. Mr. Abish, you follow the situation inside Iran very closely. What do Iranians really think of all of this?
Well, I think the Iranians are not united. They're greatly divided. And I think that there's a big majority of the public who just wants this all to go away, can't believe that, again, they're in this situation of sanctions. And they may be angry with the United States for doing this. I think they're also fed up with their government and sort of annoyed with it. But at the same time, they're more dependent on their government. Sanctions don't produce regime change. They don't destabilize society. What they do is they make even people who are upset with their governments nonetheless more dependent on them. We've seen that. So that's also happening. And of course, there's nationalist anger. Now, among the political factions, there are the hardliners that you just cited, and that's exactly what they say, if you can't talk to the United States, it was a mistake to do it to begin with, and you just can't trust these people. There's no point in outreach to them. And there are two factions. One says there's no point in outreach to Trump, so let's wait him out. And there's another faction that says there's no point in talking to any of the Americans ever. And then there are the people like Rouhani and Zarif and others in what you could call the Rafsanjani faction in Iran, although he's dead, but still it's basically his orientation, who are international. They're not moderate exactly, but they're internationally oriented. They want Iran to be outward-looking and engaged with the world rather than inward-looking and self-reliant. That's sort of, I guess, the biggest fault line between the people who tend to be called hardliners and moderates. It really has to do with the nature of Iran's interactions with the outside world. Is Iran basically an inward-looking, self-reliant country, or is Iran basically a country that is increasingly integrated into the globalizing economy and culture of the world, and with its own distinctive characteristics?
Hussein Abish, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I am Mohammed Al-Qasim.